chok in Rashi over here. I mean, it's pasuk. The pasuk says, "Es mishpatei tasu v'shukoy saitishma lechzu v'ani Hashem lekecha." So the pasuk gives a categorization of chok and mishpat. So Rashi says, "Mishpatei is devarim hamur b'toyer b'mishpat shil nomer lo nemro yekdai l'omron v'shukoy saitishmor devarim shim gzeras hamelach." And so on. So you have here the chalukah between things that are chok and mishpat. So first of all, the inyan of mishpat and the inyan of chok as being something, that is the goyim pestros about it, it's a horror pestros, it's constant, always, it's always mentioned that there is a pestering of umas olam on Klal Yisrael or Sutton. I mean, the real question is, so why isn't the Eitzah not to have any conversation with goyim or with the Sutton? It's always put, the time is always put into the court, into the bull court of the Satan, of the Umas Olam. Always, whenever it's mentioned, Umas Olam Mainin, it says in Satan, it comes. Why is it coming from there? And a Klal Yisrael shouldn't ask itself the question. I mean, you're telling me that these mitzvahs are not rational. Even if, let's say, we believe Emuna Shleima, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing, it still bothers. So why wouldn't the dogish always be to do things that you have a hard time with seichel? That's, and bechlal, the chalukah of it, between mitzvahs you do understand and you don't understand, what's the pshat? The mitzvahs that you don't understand have no tachlis. Rambam says, chas v'shalom, Rambam writes very, very strongly about it. So what does it mean you don't understand? We don't quite understand enough. I'll tell you where this question comes out more sharply. It says, Chazal say, Medrash says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll be megala the reason to you. To you, I'm going to give you the tam for paraduma. So, something that you can understand, it's just that you don't have the information, is that qualitatively different than something else? In other words, if I tell somebody, this person can't understand complicated numbers. He can multiply two numbers, he can't multiply three numbers. So the difference is a difference in kamus, not nechus. It's a question of how much, how many. It's not a question of being, not having the brains to understand. How do we categorize mitzvahs that you can't understand, but some people did understand them? Shlomo HaMelech was the smartest person. He didn't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu understood because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. So the difference between things that can be understood when you're told to things that you can't understand without telling you is not that big. It's more difficult, less difficult. Chok and Mishpat are two totally different categories. And the Pasuk doesn't say the better, the stronger mitzvahs, the mitzvahs that are more less understood. If it's a question of more brain power, less brain power, there's a continuum. Most people can understand this mitzvah. Many people can understand this mitzvah. Some people can understand this mitzvah. Nobody can mock them because of that mitzvah. But it's not two different categories. So if it's possible for a person, Moshe Rabbeinu is because he's a Basav Adam, it's possible for him to understand Paraduma, so that means it's just more difficult. So why are those two separate categories? That's really the Nekuda that we see. We see it's a different category, and it's a category of a mitzvah that A, is considered to be not understandable, considered to be something that the Umas HaOlam have the most issue with it, and yet somebody could understand it. Moshe Rabbeinu could understand it. So, what is it exactly? Also, the point of the Rambam says that mitzvahs are there in order to teach us something. The Rambam's Dugish in Mordechai for sure is mitzvahs have a tam that they sort of that they give they teach a person a certain a lesson of sorts, understanding of sorts. That's the Rambam Shita. So how would you understand, according to Rambam, all the mitzvahs that we're at a loss, that we don't have a town for it, and that nobody could possibly access a town? So the Rambam himself, in his Sefer Mishnah Torah, constantly gives remuzim. Two, three, four places, he's in Korbanis Erchin, he gives a reason in one or two or three places, he gives a reason what you could learn up from it. Mikvos, he says, Tumen Torah is a chok, and yet we could learn things from it. Fine, we could learn some lessons, but the core of the mitzvah is not learning. So I want to go to a Maral. The Maral speaks, it's in Tiferes Yisrael, the Sefer HaMatan Torah, and the Maral speaks over there about the Mishnah that says, if a person says, Al ken tzipa yagir rachmecha, that if a person says, is mispalel, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should be merachim on us, like on ken tzipa, it says that you're mesalakim, you're murid noisai. Why? Because two reasons in the Gemara. One is he makes kinam isabracious, and one is that he makes the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs rachmim ve'enan elegzeros. So it's hard to understand because Chazal themselves explain ken sipper in terms of rachmim, and we're supposed to learn rachmim from it, and a lot of mitzvahs have rachmim in it. Chazal give it as a reason of rachmim, and other Rishonim speak. This is the big topic of time of mitzvahs centers around this Chazal. So the Maral explains it. I'm going to give a paraphrase of what he says, and I'm going to try to explain it more than he writes. But Tavlis, it's his point, but I'm elaborating a bit on it. His point is, even though many mitzvahs are rachmim, and it's right, it's appropriate, it's brought to rachmim, but the midas are be'etzem gzeiris. They're not because of rachmim, but gzeiris. It's Loshon Rashi and so on. I'm going to try to explain it and try to get the whole context. Let's think a little bit. When I tell you something makes sense and something doesn't make sense, what does that mean? If somebody comes along and makes a statement sometimes the problem lies in the process. If somebody comes and tells you 2 and 2 is 30, so that's something that our internal processor says no, 2 and 2 is not 30, it doesn't work. But most things in life, somebody will come along and say, somebody sold a suit for a banana. So you think it makes no sense. What does that mean? Does that mean that the logic of it doesn't make sense? There's nothing wrong with the logic of it. If one suit equals one banana, one banana equals one suit. It's fair. People sold in some tough times in Europe, people sold a household of goods for a loaf of bread. There's nothing inherently illogical with that statement. So what does that statement mean? It means that every person has a context of experiences, a context of events, experiences, and so on, that he compares to everything else. So if I tell you, since I know when I go to buy a suit, it costs between this and this, something as ludicrous as a banana makes no sense whatsoever. But that statement is not questioning the logic of it. It's questioning the context of it. And most of a person's seichel is based on the ability to be medama milsa lemilsa. So medama milsa lemilsa itself is a logical process. But the first milsa I'm being medama to is a given. A child grows up, and let's say he never heard his parents screaming at each other, never heard any yelling, shouting, or upset in the house. If 20 years later he sees it by somebody else, the person would say, I never said how he could shout at the husband shout at the wife, or vice versa. The reason is because the context of his experiences don't contain that. So it's unreasonable, makes no sense. And vice versa, same thing. So a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave us Das, he gave us two things. He gave us a logical ability to be medama milsa lemilsa, to say if A, then B, then C, and that you could corrupt that, and that has a structure to it, but that itself is all predicated on having the first milsa to be medama to. If you learned wrong pshat and toises to start with, you could be medama a lot of wonderful things to it. They'll be wrong not because your medama is wrong, but your first milsa is wrong. So that's the process of what we would call rational. At the very, very base of things, the process at the bedrock of it, there is no why to it. So let's give a mashal. A child tastes a candy and he finds it sweet and pleasant. Then he sees other candy-like objects and they're also pleasant. Then he walks into a store and he sees this store sells these type of things. He will say that probably everything in this store tastes good and is worth buying. But that piece could be said over rationally and it could be talked about. Not everything he sells is so good. You know, you might find that you always like red flavor, this is yellow flavor, and so on. But tachlis, on the first piece, why is it that this is good? There's no answer to that. The child's first experience of a sweet candy. So somebody would try to lump this with him, if you could lump this at that age, it wouldn't get anywhere. That's the starting point. There is no such thing. Reason can't support itself. It's a tzvas, it's vasasuya. It's a circle. Reason takes you from a kavurik point. I have bedrock, and I build on the bedrock. I have an experience that to me is real and emes and good, and I build on that. That's what we call reason, and that passes the test of reasonlessness. There are mitzvahs that connect to our set of experiences in that way. So, LaMarshall, a normal person, when somebody helps me, feels good about it. When I'm in trouble, Chas v'Shalom, nobody's helping me, I feel terrible. So, and I've had those experiences of people being nice to me, people not being nice to me. And then we come along with a Torah, and we say halachas that are very, very similar to it. They make sense. What it means making sense is they click into the things that a normal person has experienced as pleasant, as pleasurable. But the truth is that gufa is only there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the bedrock down. The fact that a certain set of experiences, that sharing, giving, getting, help, care, attention, all of these things that people naturally do is good, it only is good because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it as a bedrock of our experiences, of our natural experiences, our natural sense of things, and then we build out from there. That is the mahalach of mishpat. So, if a person comes along and says, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Al ken tzibur yagir rachmecha. Why? because HaKadosh Baruch Hu also follows along the flow of Toif, then I'm negating the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'etzem planted Hatava and the Divas in the Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a member of the universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a member of society. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the foundation of it. So when I see Toiv in the Bria, something that a normal person naturally feels as Toiv, I need to understand it as a Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world. And it's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to share, not only in the Lefikach, but he wanted me to share this chelik of Toiv within the Bria. So I have a sense of things that are Toiv be'etzim, and the Mela, that's the world of Mishpat. So the world of Mishpat connects to the Toiv that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the Bria. But there's another world. And there's a world of Toiv that's beyond the Bria. There's no way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have put Kol Tuvo into the Bria by definition. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, the Bria is finite. You couldn't have done it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave us a kli to latch onto the Tov that's outside the Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a key to be able to latch onto things that are good beyond. Let's give a mashal, let's give a sort of a dogma, so we'll be a little more concrete. A kid grows up in America, and the parents are telling him not to eat with his hands, but to eat with a fork, a knife, and a spoon, etc. The child finds it annoying, at least most children find it annoying, but there has the context. When he looks around at a table with normal people, they all seem to be eating that way. He'd rather pachka, but he understands this, like we said before, in his frame of reference, this is normal, this is right, and it's good. Imagine somebody is an American ambassador to Ghana, to Chad, I don't know, some Farukta country in Africa. And he's there for a few years, he has a kid that's growing up, and he has a tutor, a pedagogue, as the Chazal would always call it, who's telling him to eat with a fork and a knife and a spoon and to sit like a mensch and so on. The kid's problem is two. Besides the fact that it's annoying, it makes no sense whatsoever. What does it mean makes no sense? It's a sensible teeth with that as it is to a chopstick. What's the difference? The answer is, there's no context for it. Why? It's a gzeres hakasev. It's a chok. The answer is, we betzim come from America. We're only here for a shift. You need to start getting used to a different context. And as you pick up the mannerisms and everything else like that, you're going to start getting used to that context. Let's give another dogma. Some kids are born with a gift of music. At the age of 4 or 5, they stand up on a piano, they pound out a full concert, and find it wonderful. Some kids, after $50,000 of vinyl lessons, are still, nowhere, have gotten nowhere. But a normal child, you'll give him lessons. The lessons will be details. Do this, that. And then slowly, it begins to dawn on him the concept of music. You know, what melody is, framework or structure of music, so on and so forth. So there are HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in this world a mitzvah whose context is not this world. And therefore they can never, quote unquote, make sense to us. They're not reasonable because in the context of this world, there's nothing. Being nice to each other, being mean to each other, hitting people, hurting people, helping people, all have a context in this world that we relate to. Eating kosher, not eating kosher, has no context. We can't relate to anything like that in this world. Has no shaykes fit. There is no context in this world for having that type of idiot. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us two sets of mitzvahs. Chayk and Mishpat are mitzvahs that are built on two separate inyanim. Mishpat is built on connecting us to the Tov in this world. Chayk is built on connecting us to Tov in the other world. It is possible. We gave the mashal about music, where a person has become into music, where he begins to get it, where he begins to understand it. So that person will begin to understand all the exact accusts of the music. Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlomo HaMelech was quote-unquote smarter than Moshe Rabbeinu. He was Chacham Mikol Adam. In terms, Chacham Mikol Adam means, in terms of the sum total of this worldly experiences, and the ability to draw analogies, there was nobody bigger than Shlomo, including Moshe Rabbeinu. But when it came to Chayk, we're talking about drawing an analogy to something outside this world. Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megala to Moshe, not because he played favorites. He couldn't be megala to him. Moshe was Isha Lakim. It says Chetzav, he was Ish Chetzav Lakim. In other words, Moshe had a shirish in a world beyond. And in a world beyond, this has context. If I could be madame and also about something I don't understand. But there are many chassidish maises, litvish maises, chazal, about people who could sense macholas asuris. And things of that nature. They could tell if a person was kaddish to her, macholas asuris, and so on. So you can take a very litvish approach and say it's with a din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring a takala to tzaddikim and so on. So it's mikoyach the halacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring a takala to tzaddikim. We can use that approach. We can deny the maises. That's another approach. But if you want to accept the maise, it means that this person has a sensitivity because he has a sheirish in another metzias. For a normal human being, tuma and taira and usher and mutter has no sheikhs. So unless you tell me, unless you made it, there's no way I can tell. But if I have a sheirish somewhere else, if I have a context somewhere else, person who's nefesh, a shalom, whatever you want to call it, somewhere else, then he can feel it the way. Just like a person who has musical ability can sense a melody that's off, a note that's not right, something about a composition that's not right, and an artistic person can sense something about colors and then chap the thing. A person who has that shorish has that also. So going back to the Maral, I just want to finish explaining him, and then the Maral, when he says that al ken tzipi girach mecha, the insight is to understand that mishpat is not mishpat because it's not mishpat because it's a good thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we should do it. We could have felt Gezel being wrong and we could not feel Gezel being wrong. That Gezel is wrong in the sense that every normal human being has a sense about Gzeira. That's Gzeira. That has no why to it. If the why is not answering why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Gzela, and it's not really answering why we shouldn't do Gzela. Even if I want to steal and I feel very good about the stealing, it's still awesome. The why, the Mishpat part is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Sheirish that we can link up with our experience and the Herod, and that's, so it's a Gzera B'Yisoida, and it's rachamim the way we inherit. So it's the same way. So that's where mishpat is. Chayk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us so that we gain an entry into a world that's beyond us. I want to shtel to one more point to this, and that's a Zayah HaKadosh. Zayah HaKadosh says that chayk and mishpat are Keneged Midas Adin and Midas Rachmi. That's basically what he says. It's on this parsha. He says this is, he brings psukim and so on. And, you know, Kedarka, it's a story, but it has meaning to us also. I want to try to explain what Midas Adin is and what Midas HaChesed is. Midas HaDin means, we tend to think of Midas HaChesed as being much better. We hope for it. We're mispalel for Rachamim, Midas HaRachamim, not Midas HaDin. But let's explain the difference. When a person what's the clear example of Midas HaDin in our world? The answer is science. No law of physics was ever bent or twisted, no matter how much you pay the engineer. I mean, you can pay the engineer off, you can get the city to certify it, but the bridge is not going to stand. I don't want to speak about Soul Point of Florida, but B'chol Eifin, not going to happen. Why? Because of Mitzias. And what we call humanities, liberal arts, philosophy, everything else like that, all the other things, it's a good thing, it's a better thing, it's a difficult time. The reason why we treat it with disdain is because we don't see it as a real Mitzias. He said, but sometimes, there's no sense of Mitzias to it. So if a person lives with Midas HaRachmim, if a school has a marshal just Midas HaDin, you either passed or failed, and tough luck. So basically, you're making the person to a machine, you're making the child to a machine, and you're not imparting any human values to him. But if it's a situation where it's always negotiable, then you're also imparting that there's no Mitzias to it. You know, it's kind of, yeah, it belongs in the category of things that have no real Mitzias to it. A little more, a little less, sometimes yes, sometimes not. And Chayik enforces in us the idea that there's a Mitzias in the world. I don't know why if a piece of hot cheese touches a piece of meat, it becomes terribly awesome. I don't know why. But that's it is. No one understands why the basic laws of physics are. But they are. It's interesting. The Maharal, when he speaks about it, he says the Chochmas HaTivim are coming to him with tainis as to how could a mitzvah that has no why really work? He said science doesn't have a why either. It has... In a certain area, knowing these basic laws, I can tell you the lefizes. When we say I can explain something scientifically, it means accepting certain things. Why is it that gravity it attracts things? No one knows. I mean, it warps space and time. Fine. Why? There was somebody who was saying they have once a month. They have scientists in the area give. Give a lecture and a Rav gives a few words about it. Chazal, it's a program school runs. And there was one fellow, he's a big physicist, a very fine fellow, and he was speaking about time, the time-space warping and twisting, b'chulu. And at the end, some guy said, I don't understand German. He said, if time and space is nothing, how could it twist out of shape? How could something that doesn't exist twist out of shape? And he said, yes, a very good question, and he left. But the answer is, but that's the Mitzias. The reason why we treat it seriously, even though it doesn't make sense, because we treat it as Mitzias. The Gzeirah Sheba, and that's what the Maharal says. When science talks about explaining things rationally, they talk about starting with postulates, axioms. Geometry is the most logical subject that probably exists. And it starts with givens. And why does the given is so they go to philosophy department and waste a few years doing that. If you want to do something real, once you accept it, go right with it. So the Maharal says we always need to understand that the shirish of every Mitzias is Gzeir. That's why Midas HaDin means that's where it is. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu exacts Midas HaDin, it's not a meanness. It's to reinforce that it's a mitzvah. Torah and mitzvahs are not good ideas. They're not pleasant. They're not great ideals. They're mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah ruchnius. This is karis. and this is mechaba l'chayalom. That's a metzias of it. And din gives that. And that's why the hanhaga is a constant balance that it does. So chok is something that reinforces the sense of din, and mishpat reinforces the sense of because of this, therefore this. Mishpat is because of this, therefore this. That's what Midas HaRachmim is. Midas HaRachmim is not a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in an easy mood, in a good mood. It means because I want you to succeed, I'm willing to wait a while until this will go by. It's where the perspective is not mitzad the mitzias adavah. Yes, this is mechayev karis. Rachman is a perspective that therefore I will do A in order to attain something. I want to finish off with one chazal. I once heard from somebody, and I think it's a tremendous insight. I heard this many years ago from psychologists, and I think it's a tremendous insight in chinuch, I guess. And the advantage of growing from home. It says in Chazal that we learn Vayikra with children. I don't know in America, I'm not so familiar at that age, but in Yisrael, my kids went to Cheder. So most 99% of Chadom at Yisrael teach the first parasha Vayikra, and then they go to Brachos. But everybody's Yitzir. Chazal say that you should start learning Vayikra. So Chazal say, because you're Vohu Tehorim, he's asking with Torah, you'll be doing Torah. That's the Losh HaChazal, that because young children are Torah, therefore they should learn it. So, I once heard from an insight as to why. There are certain inyanim that can only be understood on that bedrock level of Metzius. If I grow up without a sense of kasha and treif, and later on I come to it, I'm never going to be able to assimilate that into that level of no way. When a person is assimilates it at a young age, Yavu Tahir means they have no prior experiences. They're tabula rasa. They're a blank slate. There's nothing there. So just like nobody who grows up in a society ever eating with forks and knives asks themselves, why do people have knives? It's natural. It's normal. That's the way it should be. When you see Chinese eating with chopsticks, you ask them, why are they eating with chopsticks? And vice versa. When you see somebody eating with a fork and knife, you ask them, why? This chelik of Torah, Vayikra, deals with what we call chok, basically. The best way for it to enter a person is as a metzias. Yes, a person becomes a frum later on, and he's mekabel lashmayim, mekabel it. It's still not sitting in rock bottom in his neshama. It's still sitting somewhere else because it never came in like that. The experiences that a person has as a child is going to be etzem metzius. And that's the tremendous maila of starting with. And that's why a person who grows up, it's fascinating. You see both directions. People who grew up without being zoch in the early age have a Torah l'chinuch, later become stark and extremely admirable research nefesh, a person turning. He accepts it as an adult as exeris hakasif. You find people who strayed and went off, and they'll be keeping things, and he says, it makes no sense. You're doing kol davar, so why not this? I can't do it. There's no way. Because it's something that became part of person that sees. They can sometimes they'll do things bedafka maybe. But there's something about a naturalness of a chinuch where a child sees things as being teva ha'olam, metzias ha'olam, that is the way it's supposed to go. And that's why sometimes, people have, the kids should be taught why. They shouldn't be taught why. As a kid grows, as a kid grows older, then the process of Madame Mosa kicks in. But there's something to be said, if it's a natural part of your life, then the child also picks it up that way. And there's something about it. We believe that Ruchnius and Mitzvahs are the Mitzvahs. The same Rebbeinu Shel that said heat, earth, and light goes at a constant speed, and you can twist and turn the world upside down, and light will stay that way, because it's the first time thing I could was the or. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, like Sikrivu Legalza Vasan, it's wrong. I don't know why. It giving a reason for, so I understand when you deal with people, you sometimes have to give reasons, so on. The Umas HaOlam can't, and this is why the Rashi and Chazal bring it always, the Umas HaOlam, the Satan come along. And if they wouldn't bother me, should I not be bothered by myself? And why is it always this, why is it a dialogue? The answer is, Umas HaOlam and the Satan, at the best, come from the context of this world, at best. In this world, there's no answer to it. You're right, it's checkmate. There's no answer to it. Klal Yisrael has a neshama that reaches much further than Mishpat. And in that chelek is where it lies. And therefore, having that type of chinuch, upbringing and so on, it's not that isolating a child or insulating a child will protect him in old age. It doesn't exist anymore, nothing's isolated, nothing's insulated. I was once speaking, a few weeks ago, I was speaking to a Chassidish Yid, he's very Oisik and a lot of problems in the Chassidish world, tremendous chacham, a very special person. I mean, he's a very shtark Chassid, but he understands things well. And he said, he said when he was getting into Yonim, he asked the kid, like, how do you manage to get a smartphone, there's so much shmira, so much this, so much that, something like that. And the kid looked at him like he fell off the moon. He said, Rebbe, give me $25 in 10 minutes and I'll bring you a smartphone. You know, that's not going to happen. But there's tremendous value in giving a naturalness of Olam HaMitzvahs to a child. And most important, if it's natural to an adult, it's natural to the child. If a kid sees you as Muskel Rishon doing what you're supposed to do, and it's not even a question, he may want to do it. Even when he says, why do I have to do it? It's like asking, why do I always have to wear a clean shirt? He knows the answer. It's just another way of replying. So yes, you have to humble with each kid, which is the way it is. But understand that down deep he knows a clean shirt is... I was speaking once to a girl who had, dropped out and was slowly coming back, and she was involved in a shidduch with somebody who would be termed modern Orthodox. And this girl reached out to me and asked me, should she get married to him? I said, do you both want to keep the same mitzvahs? And what's your... And she said, yes. I said, what's the hesitation? I said, because he comes from a different world than I come. For me, Lamashal, a woman wearing a hair covered is the normal woman wears. I may or may not do it, but my default setting of what's normal is this. He doesn't come from that world. And it was a very insightful remark. It's something that opened my eyes a little bit. The understanding the value of putting in things at that sort. Al-Kapanim, I mean, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Chayk Mishpat. Both of them are necessary. Mishpat is a gilui of all the toiv that's in this world. Chayk is a gilui of toiv that's beyond this world. It gives us an entrance way to another world of axioms and so on. And most important to understand is that without having toiv, both mishpat and chok, at the level of a person's axioms, nothing will stand up on the reasoning, because all reasoning comes down, it's like a building. All the beams and columns come down to a certain spot. And if the spot on the ground is weak, it's not going to work. Both ourselves, both in terms of chinuch, it happens to be an extremely, that's the bedrock of what it's about. Bez Hashem, we should be zeicha to, I guess, Matas Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia, again, some sort of sense when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the difference between the Gilyim at Har Sinai, Anoch Hashem Lekecha, to all the Nisim and Flaws are an argument. If you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Nisim, then Mistama, he was very loving, so on and so forth. Those are very powerful arguments. But like the Rambam says, there has not been born yet an argument that you can't dispute. But personal experience, like Matan Torah, is a mitzvah. And somewhere along the line, it enters at that level. Baruch Hashem, we should be zeichet to another infusion of that type of Ashur, and we should be zeichet to build on it, Baruch Hashem.